بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سار على سبيله ومن اهتدى بهديه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، فقد قال تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها النبي إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: كل أمتي يدخلون الجنة إلا من أبى. قيل: ومن يأبى يا رسول الله؟ قال: من أطاعني دخل الجنة، ومن عصاني فقد أبى، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable ulama kiram, respected elders and beloved brothers in Islam, we are all aware that we have entered the third month of the Hijri calendar, the month of Rabi'ul Awwal. And the month of Rabi'ul Awwal, by and large, has become synonymous with the birth, the life and the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every year at the turn of the calendar, when the hilal and the moon for the month of Rabi'ul Awwal is sighted, then we hear various aspects of the seerah, the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His praises are sung, his virtues are mentioned. Social media becomes flooded with posts relating to his life. But the reality, my respected brothers and elders, as the poet says in Arabic, مَا إِن مَدَحْتُ مُحَمَّدًا بِمَقَالَتِي وَلَكِن مُدِحَتْ مَقَالَتِي بِمُحَمَّدٍ. No matter how many words of greatness, how many words of praise, no matter what poetry is written, no matter what lectures are delivered in the praise and extolling the greatness and the virtues of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the reality is that our words cannot praise him sufficiently. Rather, our words, our speech becomes praiseworthy by mere mention of the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for us to understand the legacy that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left behind, my respected brothers and elders, it is necessary for us to rewind, turn back the clock more than 1400 years to a period of time which was known as the Ayyamul Jahiliyyah, the period of ignorance. Historians write, they say that humanity had reached such a low, they had stooped to such a low that there was no hope left. The Mu'arrikheen, in the books of Tariq, it is recorded, what were the practices of the people of Jahiliyyat? That a man's camel would graze in the field of another man, and this small incident would spark a family feud that would last generations. When a woman or when a man had to pass away and leave behind a widow, then that woman would become mirath, inheritance, at times going to her own child. A son would own his mother. This was the law. Petty feuds, petty fights. The consumption of alcohol had become widespread. Burying of children alive had become widespread. And one historian writes and he explains what was the condition of the people of the world. He says it was as though humanity was in a cart, and this cart was proceeding downhill. And as it was moving along, it was gaining speed. And there was nobody in that cart who was interested on pressing brakes. Each person was fighting and jostling with the next for his place in the cart. The people of wealth were trying to secure their wealth. The people of poverty were trying to raise their status in this world. Each person was worried about his position in this world. And as this cart proceeds downhill, it's gaining speed. And he says it is as though it was just one command of Allah that would come and wipe out humanity from the surface of this earth. The situation was dire. There was no hope left. And at that point in time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent one rahmat and mercy upon this world. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا سِرَاجًا مُنِيرًا. The savior of this world was born. This was the condition that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into this world. And in a span of 23 years of nubuwwat, he transformed the face of this world forever. So that 1400 years later, we are seated here taking his name. 1400 years later, ulama say that there isn't a single minute that goes by in this world without the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam being taken. Somewhere some muadhin is calling out the adhan. Somewhere somebody is reading some verse of Quran. Somewhere somebody is reciting Durood Sharif. What a legacy the Nabi of Allah left, my respected brothers and elders. And this was the theme throughout his life. Allah gave his Nabi the best when it came to his birth. And every aspect of the life of his Nabi, Allah gave him the best. When it came to the blessed name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah gave him the best. وَشَقَّ لَهُ مِنْ إِسْمِهِ لِيُجِلَّهُ فَرَبُّ الْعَرْشِ مَحْمُودٌ وَهَذَا مُحَمَّدُ. Allah, the Lord of the throne, his title is Al-Mahmood, the praiseworthy being. And when it came to choosing a name for his Nabi, then from the same root letters in the Arabic language, Allah derived the name of his Nabi, Muhammad, also that being who is praiseworthy. When it came to his name, Allah gave him the best. When it came to his place of residence, Allah gave him the best. On one occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is returning from an expedition. And in the distance, he sees the mountains of Madinatul Munawwara. And he says to those around him, Inna hadhihi tayba. أَسْكَنَنِيهَا رَبِّي عَزَّ وَجَلْ يَنْفِي الْخَبَثْ كَمَا يَنْفِي الْكِيرُ خَبَثَ الْحَدِيدِ. That here in the distance lies the pure and blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara. My residence in this place is not by chance. It is not an act of coincidence. Allah Rabbul Izzat chose this place for me. And what is the speciality? What is the virtue? يَنْفِي الْخَبَثْ. The city of Madinatul Munawwara purifies a person. Just like a rusted piece of iron is put into a blazing hot furnace. And the flames will burn off the rust. And only the pure iron will come out once again. Clean and pure. This is the effect that the city of Madina Munawwara will have on the hearts of my ummah. When it came to his place of residence, Allah gave him the best. When it came to his akhlaq and character, Allah gave him the best. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha is once questioned that, O Ummul Mu'mineen, tell us about the character of your husband. And for a moment, my respected brothers and elders, let us pause and think. If somebody had to knock on my door and ask my family, tell me about the character and the akhlaq of your husband. What would the response be? My husband is the Fir'aun of the time. And unfortunately, she would not be speaking a lie. A woman, a wife in particular, will not hold back. She doesn't pull her punches. But what is the response that she gives? كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. If you want to know about his character, if you want to know about his nobility, if you want to know about how he selflessly dedicated himself to his deen, then all you need to do is open the Qur'an and read, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. And she begins to recite the first page of the 18th juz. Whatever noble quality Allah has outlined in the Quran, my husband fit the bill. He reached the height, the perfection of good character. That ulama say, if you want to learn good character, then go to the franchise holder of good character, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he came to his akhlaq, Allah gave him the best. When it came to his way of life, his deen also, Allah gave him the best. الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. One Jewish person comes to Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. He says, O Umar, let me tell you. You Muslims have been given such a dynamic verse in your Quran. Such a complete verse, such a glad tiding has been given to you. That if this verse had to be revealed to us, we would have made that day of its revelation a day of Eid and celebration. Where Allah says He has given you a complete and perfect way of life. This was not given to any nation before you. Anbiya of the past came. There was salah in the nations of the past. There was zakat in the nations of the past. But a complete and perfect deen was given to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore, my respected brothers and elders, it is only normal that when it came to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah gave him the best. Quran declares very emphatically and clearly, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ. You, O ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are the best. You have been given the virtue, you have been given status, honor, position in the eyes of Allah. But with that, my respected brothers and elders, comes a responsibility. When a sports team is proceeding for some World Cup or some tournament, And they are wearing the colors of the country on their back, then they are reminded, remember the legacy of the teams before you. Remember what you are representing and who you are representing. Make sure that you do not fail because you are going to establish a legacy. The trophy cabinet is already full. You don't come back empty handed. And this spurs them on. They understand their position. They understand the responsibility that they are carrying. Understand, my respected brothers and elders, we are the fruit of which garden? What was our beginning? Where did we come from? On the back of what sacrifice you and I are seated here with iman? What disloyalty to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? When the ummati wakes up in the morning and says, I do not want to look like my Nabi. I do not want to dress like my Nabi. I do not want to conduct my business dealings like my Nabi. I am prepared to give up his way of life. I am prepared to turn my back on him. Yet the sacrifice that he gave. On one occasion, Aisha radiallahu anha comes out of her room smiling. She's overjoyed, ecstatic. Someone asks her, what is the reason for your happiness? She says, Nabi of Allah made a dua for me. Muhaddithin write, they say, why did she become so happy? She was his wife after all. We assume that she would be getting duas daily. But what was his practice? His daily dua was not for Fatima, Aisha and Khadija. His dua was for his ummah to come till the day of Qiyamah, that they will be my flag bearers. They will carry my way of life to the four corners of the world. My respected brothers and elders, time is limited. But the short life in this world, it is a small sacrifice. A few years of suppressing one's desires. A few years of bringing one's life onto the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what is Allah prepared to give us in return? Just as Allah gave his Nabi the best in this world, he will give him the best in the akhirat. The hadith appears in Muslim Sharif and we'll end on this. The narrator is Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. He says, let me tell you about the last person who will enter Jannat. When the people of Jannah have already made their way into their abode, the people of Jahannam have settled in Jahannam. Allah will address the angels and say, go into Jahannam and see. Perhaps there is somebody with an inkling of iman in his heart. So the angels will go into Jahannam and they will find one person. مِثْقَالُ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ مِّنْ iman. He will have just a mustard seed's worth of iman in his heart. No salah, no zakat, no recitation of Quran. His life was away from deen, but he died with iman. He preserved his iman before he left this world. Allah will say to the angels, take him out of Jahannam. The narrator of the hadith mentions he will come out burnt like a coal. And Allah will dip him into the river of life. And his limbs will form once again and now he will call out to Allah. That, oh my Allah, anqidhni min an-nar, qad qashabani rihuha, wa ahraqani zaka'uha. Oh my Allah, I have one request only. Just save me from the fire of Jahannam, do not put me back inside. So Allah will address this person and say, oh my slave, oh my creation, I know how I have created you. In our terms, if I give you a finger, you'll ask for the hand. What is my guarantee that you will not ask for anything else after this? So this person is desperate. He will take an oath, Ya Rabbi wa Izzatik, O Allah, I swear in your honor and grandeur, this is my one and only request. I will not ask for anything else after this. So Allah will say to him, no problem, your wish is granted. And as he begins to relax, and the torment and the torture of Jahannam is forgotten, now he will see in the distance an oasis appears. A beautiful palm tree, fresh and clear water. And desire will come into his heart, Ya Rabbi, oh my Allah, just allow me to take rest under the shade of that tree. So Allah will say to him, oh my slave, did I not tell you, I know how you have been created. You'll never be satisfied. What guarantee do I have that this is your final request? Again he will take an oath in the name of Allah. Ya Rabbi wa Izzatik, my one and only request, I will not ask for anything else. Allah will say, your wish is granted. And then in the distance he'll see another more beautiful oasis. The same question, same request, same response. Allah will grant it to him. Finally he will look at the door of Jannah and then he'll say, Ya Rabbi, qaddimni inda babil Jannah. Oh Allah, just allow me to go close to Jannah. Perhaps there's some space inside for me. I know I didn't fulfill your commands, but I left this world with belief in you. So Allah will say to him, oh my slave, it looks as though Jannat is full. But in reality, these are all your slaves and attendants. This is for you. وَعَشَرَةُ أَمْثَالِهِ and 10 times the like of it. Desire to your heart's content. At this juncture in the hadith, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, the narrator, he begins to smile at his students. So they say to him, "Oh Ustaz, why are you smiling?" So he says, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam narrated this to us, he also began to smile. And we asked him the same question, "O Messenger of Allah, why are you smiling?" He said, "I am smiling at the response that this person will give to Allah." And he will say, "أَوَتَسْتَهْزِئُ بِي وَأَنْتَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ." "Oh Allah, are you playing the fool with me? Are you making a mockery out of me? This is for me? I didn't do any good deeds in the life of this world." Allah will say, "Oh my slave, this is no joke. This is for you because you left this world with iman. This is the treasure that Allah has given us, my respected brothers and elders. Time has run out. Allah has given us iman free of charge. Let us not give up this bounty of Allah. Challenges are waiting, facing us in every direction. A person leaves the masjid and drives down the road. There are 1,000 challenges taking him away from Allah. But if a person will suppress himself, connect himself to the masjid, bring his life upon the pattern of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and understand that Jannat is just a few minutes away. The life of this world on the day of Qiyamah, the person will ask, "Kam labithtum fil ardi adad sinin?" How long did you live in this world? He'll say, "It seemed like just one day, or just a few hours in the day." This is a small sacrifice, my respected brothers and elders. Allah has given us His deen. Allah has given us the masajid. Allah has given us 5 times salah. Let us all make this intention from today at least, that I will not miss one salah with jamaat in the masjid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.